We continue now with The Beatles. In 1967, they starred in their first and only television spectacular, Magical Mystery Tour. It told the story of the Beatles' rise to fame and glory, and featured their 47th hit.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know.
Penny Lane, from the album Magical Mystery Tour, soundtrack to the Beatles' first TV movie. Critics reviewed it as everything from blatant rubbish to a triumph, but almost everyone agreed that it contained some of the Beatles' most abstract lyrics. George Harrison.
Sometimes, you know, we play games with ourselves. We do things for our own amusement, just abstract, like abstract paintings, and then it's the person who looks at it who puts his own meaning to it, really. It might be the same meaning as the artist, but that doesn't really matter. It's just, like, the part of abstract thing is so that you can make it whatever you want to make it.
Producer Phil Spector analyzed the abstractions in The Flip Side of Penny Lane, a song called Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yeah. Try playing it backwards and you'll hear what it would sound like. Let me take you.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to.
Well, this is the record that everybody puts all the hidden meanings to, right? And they probably got it off a signposter.
Nothing is real.
I think that's the beauty of the Beatles, that so much of this stuff doesn't have to be explained. And, you know, really, that's really it.
Misunderstanding all you see. It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you. Nothing is real. Nothing to get hung about.
I like the horns a lot. I love this melody coming up right here.
No one I think is.
That's a great melody. And the thing going back. Shh. It was nice, and it made its point. I think it wasn't enjoyed enough as a record, but there was too much inside trying to be put into it. I just dug it for. I like the other side of the record a whole lot too.
Going to strawberry fields. Nothing is real.
What they're trying to do is really what's on this record. Is to probably, well, if it's to blow people's minds or whatever it is, they've accomplished. I think they just, I accept them more on a very realistic basis rather than on the fantasy basis that it's all up in the air and that it has 12,000 meanings. It's a very real record to me.
Yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree.
His echo, they might have overdubbed them through an amplifier, guitar amplifier. All these things are just, sometimes these things are big accidents that happen on a session.
Nothing is real. Nothing to get hung about.
The Rodgers and Hart of today, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Jerome Kern, Ira and George Gershwin, that's who they are. Musically, and Paul McCartney is probably the greatest rock and roll singer that ever lived. John Lennon runs a close second.
Again, George Harrison.
The main thing that I felt from the 60s thing that happened was the realization that all the goodness and all the strength and things that can support life is all coming out of love. And not just as simple as, you know, one guy saying to a chick, I love you, you know, as a personally, like an emotional sort of thing, that is. But the love of, just real love, which is like unconditional love. Because so often we say, you know, I love you if, you know, I love you when, I love you but. And that's not real love. You know, I don't want to just hear the word. I want to feel it and see it and be it.
All you need is love. Love is all you need. all you need. Love is 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 all you need.
This was a song that was written specially for a television performance, which was a worldwide hookup, went to every country in the world, and I was told, at a conservative estimate, there were about 200 million people watching. And it was being filmed live, no pre-recording. I mean, even what you call live these days isn't live, but this really was live. And we got a lot of people into the studio and made a kind of scene of it. And then at the last moment, just before we were going to go on the air, the producer, who was sitting in a truck outside, came in with tremendous panic. He said, our communications have broken down, so I can't get through to the studio. You'll have to relay my instructions to the people in the studio when we're on the air. So I said, thanks. That's all I needed. It was, in fact, it was so sort of tense that I just giggled. And I thought, well, you know, nothing you can do about it except laugh, really. And it went off pretty well.
All You Need Is Love, Strawberry Fields Forever, and Penny Lane. All from the Beatles' 1967 TV special, Magical Mystery Tour. Coming up next, Beatle Motion Picture number 3.
Hello, everybody. This is George Harrison of the Beatles. And on behalf of the Beatles, I'd like to invite you to be our guest at the special opening night premiere of Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine is next when we continue. We continue now with the Beatles.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed on to the sun till we found a sea of green.
Yellow Submarine, released early in 1968, was the Beatles' first full-length animated motion picture.
There was a company in America who wanted to do a cartoon featuring the Beatles, and Al Brodax was the producer of the film, and he got a number of writers together, one of which, the main writer of Yellow Submarine, emerged later on as a hit writer of films. In fact, His name was Eric Siegel, and he then came to fame later on writing Love Story. The boys didn't really want too much to be done about the film. They weren't very interested in the film, quite honestly. They thought it was a pain in the neck. But then at the last moment, the boys realized they had something good in the film. They saw it, and they approved of it.
Besides making Yellow Submarine in 1968, the Beatles busied themselves with other projects. In April, they started Apple Corps Limited, a new company designed to manage Beatle affairs and to launch deserving new recording artists. A few months later, they recorded a 7-minute, 11-second single, the longest they ever produced. It was also the Beatles' biggest record ever.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better.
Na 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 na
The Beatles and Hey Jude. It was number one on the charts for 9 weeks. Also in the fall of 1968, demonstrators battled with police in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention. It was a time when campus unrest, violence, and political paranoia was a national craze. The Beatles responded with a recording addressed to radical activists the world over. Their message surprised some, disappointed others, but moved many. We'll hear it when we continue with The Beatles. The Beatles, 1968.
Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we'd all love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. You know it's gonna be all right, all right, all right. Say you change the constitution. Change your head. You tell me it's the institution. Well, you know, you better free your mind instead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow. Don't you know it's gonna be all right. All right. All right.
The Beatles' main project in 1968 was a production of a two-record set titled simply The Beatles, which fans have come to know as The White Album. George Harrison was asked what he thought of their new LP.
And it's definitely our best album, and it's just more things in it, more variation. I think generally everything's getting better.
Here's a collage from The Beatles' White Album.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Come back into the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the USSR.
I say it's your birthday. It's my birthday to
ya. Say you want a revolution. Fell back in his room on
Satan's Bible.
This is a voice of Billy Preston.
Back in 1962, when I was over in Europe with Little Richard and Sam Cooke, the Beatles were on the show as a supporting act, and we became tight friends. And when they came to America, I ran into them in San Francisco, and they remembered me, and we went out and partied together and everything. Then it was about 3 or 4 years after that, I think, because I was with Ray Charles, and we were in Europe, and George came to see the show and sent a message back for me to call him, you know, and come down to see the guys. And when I went down, they were filming Let It Be, cameras rolling and tape rolling, and that's. So they said, well, sit on in, you know. And I did, and they said, well, take a solo. And I did, and next thing I knew, Get Back, you know, was out with my name on it.
George Martin remembers Get Back and the studio sessions for the Beatle album Let It Be.
Well, this was probably the most unhappy album we've ever had. The boys were rowing with each other all the time. It was the real breakup, I thought. And it went on and on. There were the continual wrangles, even punch-ups. And John had insisted that when we did this album, it was going to be what he called an honest album, completely authentic. He didn't want any overdubbing of voices. He didn't want any overdubbing of instruments. He wanted to be a live performance. He didn't want any editing. He wanted it to be a one-take job, and that was it. So we recorded, and we recorded, and recorded. We'd been working and rehearsing this for so long. The original idea of the whole album, which was a great one, was to make a live album anyway of new material. But we had nowhere to perform. It was in the middle of the winter in England. And we finished up by saying, well, look, we've got all this ready. Why don't we give a performance? Where are we going to do it? There's no place to do it. Okay, they said the boy, let's go and do it on the roof so everybody hears it. And we put out loudspeakers in the streets. And we just, the boys went up on the roof and just sang. And of course, in no time at all, I mean, it was echoing miles across London, you know, this huge sound of Beatle music. And the police station was only a quarter mile down the road in Savile Row. In no time at all, the police were knocking on the door saying, what are you doing? You're causing a nuisance. And we sort of held them off. And eventually they broke in, or rather they didn't break in, we had to leave them in. And I think in the film you see police coming up, don't you? I thought we were going to end up in jail, all of us.
Here come old flat top, he come grooving up slowly. Got juju eyeball, he want holy roller. He got hair down to his knee. Got to be a joker, he just do what he please.
Beatles and Come Together. Once again, George Harrison.
For me, I can see all around beautiful girls in one way. You know, ones who look good. And sometimes you see ones who don't particularly look good but have such beauty within them. And when you get a combination of both, then it's fantastic. Beauty to me is something which comes from within. and is not limited to the physical body, although that is helpful. It's really just something which is coming out of the heart, you know, beauty like that.
We'll continue with the Beatles in a moment. We continue now with the Beatles.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in for though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be.
night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Yeah, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Yeah, let it be. Well, there will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
Let It Be from the album of the same name. Production credit was given to Phil Spector. The Beatles' original producer, George Martin, comments on the end result.
Well, Spector, I always had tremendous admiration for. I love his recordings, particularly the earlier stuff. I mean, he's made some amazing records. You've Lost That Loving Feeling is one of my favorites of all time. But he has this characteristic of putting in the kitchen sink, you know, using five pianos and 64 trombones and... which is fine, it's his style. It's not my style. I like a fairly clinical approach to things. And we just have different opinion about the way things should be done. I didn't like what he did on Let It Be, and I protested against it, but I couldn't do anything about it. In fact, we have arguments about the credits because he wanted my name taken off the album. And I said, no, I think the best way of doing it is, look, why don't you have recording produced by George Martin, overproduced by Phil Spector.
Winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. Lead me to your door, the wild and windy night that the rain washed away has left a pool of tears crying for.
In the spring of 1970, shortly after the release of The Long and Winding Road, Paul McCartney stunned Beatle fans. He announced that he was quitting the group, and a few weeks later, the Beatles officially broke up. It's no longer possible to say anything meaningful about the Beatles with a dry third-person narrative. Imagination, first, best, taste, international significance, success. Those are some of the easy words. Between January 1964 and May 1970, the Beatles racked up more than 60 hits, over half of which climbed into the top 10. 20 of their songs reached number one, an unprecedented achievement in the recording industry. Worldwide, the Beatles have sold more than 85 million albums and 120 million singles. The key to the Beatles was and always will be their incredible music, which sounds as fresh, relevant, and exciting today as it did the day it was recorded. Leader and founder, John Lennon.
Most people enjoyed the Beatles and still enjoy it either separately, together, or whatever form it is. And mostly we get love. There's a few people that hate what we did or what they think we did. But in general, we get love, and I appreciate it. You know, people are friendly to me on the street, and I groove on it. You know, why should I cry if somebody says, hey, I love you, why don't you get back together? You know, it's good with me. I had fun doing it.
The Beatles. They've been heralded, adored, criticized, banned, and condemned. But most of all, loved.